5. Ephesians in chapter number 5 this morning. In the New Testament of your scripture, Ephesians in chapter number 5. And in every bulletin this morning, there is two copies of our handout. This is a brand new series that we are beginning this morning entitled Too Committed. Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And there is no better way to enjoy marriage than the way that God intended it to be enjoyed. God is the author and originator of marriage. And so it's going to be difficult to have a successful marriage without having God's instruction or guidebook to go with it. It was His idea. And if you've ever tried to do something that wasn't your idea, it's difficult to do. And marriage is God's idea. He knows what He's doing, and we can trust in Him. And so we want to do it God's way. And then I want to say this. We want to be committed. I love working with families. It's without a doubt the passion of my heart. I love to strengthen marriages and families. I enjoy the opportunity to teach this class and to speak here in this ministry and other ministries now on the subject of the home. And I am a young student of this subject matter, but I love it, and it is without a doubt something I'm passionate about. One of the things that troubles me in the area of the home is people that are in the home, but they're not committed to the home. We're not going to make it in a way that honors and pleases the Lord without commitment. And so I believe this series, this study title, fits perfectly with the heartbeat of this class and the families that make up this class, and that is Too Committed. A successful marriage that truly is experiencing and enjoying marriage God's way is going to be the result of a husband and a wife that are both committed. Both committed, both in, both doing their part. Now, I know we have this morning maybe some wives or some husbands that you're here and your spouse is not. And it may be because Junior got sick this weekend or you know, someone had to work or whatever. We have things like that all the time in our class. And I want to encourage you that whether you're both here or one of you are here, or maybe you're here and preparing for a relationship of this nature someday, that God can use these truths in our lives to greatly strengthen and help us as we study His Word. And so I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way, and you've got your outline there in your bulletin. The Bible says in verse number 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, in this first lesson, we're going to study understanding God's way. You see, God's way of marriage and the popular trend of culture and psychology of marriage are very different. We're being told today, and if you read the average book maybe on the bookshelf about marriage or talk to maybe a psychologist or counselor or something, and sometimes the guidance or the direction that's given is, well, whatever you feel your marriage needs, or whatever you're feeling like you're lacking, then that's what you need to invest in your marriage. And God takes Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33 and points out that, you know what, that's not actually true. There's something very specific your marriage needs. But the wife is not going to detect it for the husband, and the husband's not going to detect it for the wife. In other words, my need and fulfilling it is not going to meet her need. And God teaches and God articulates in this passage that there is a biblical way to formulate and put this marriage together that is experiencing and enjoying marriage God's way, but it's not the way we naturally think. It's not what we would naturally do. It's not just following the desires of our heart. God says, no, there's a specific way that you're going to have the Spirit in order to see. You're not even going to see it as a natural man because it's not going to come naturally to you. You say, Brother Gabe, is this needed in this day? Well, you know, they tell us right now that 5 out of 10 marriages end in divorce. And by the way, let me say something. They're telling us that 5 out of 10 marriages of evangelical Christians end in divorce. So it's not that, well, the world's marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate, but the people of God are staying together. Not necessarily true. They're saying even of Christian circles, and by the way, when they give you the umbrella of evangelical Christians, they lump a lot of groups in there that may not be us, but that's irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. It's a sad day in America when 1 out of 2 marriages don't even make it. And when you consider that so many people today don't even get married. So you've got less people getting married, and you still have this unprecedented number of marriages that are falling apart. Now, I'm so thankful for a class and a church. We've got a lot of great marriages, and we've got people that love each other and that love God and that are in a class like this, because not that it was this class or bust or this lesson or divorce, but it was we've got a good marriage and we want to make it better. I'm grateful to be a part of something like that. My wife and I were praying through our class roster this morning, and she was praying for Josh and Kelly Miller, and she was just saying, boy, Lord, what a blessing. And I don't know how she knew, but she just said, you know, I know they have a date night every week, and they make that a priority, and they make it all work, and that's just such a blessing. And I was there, and I was thinking, man, that's great. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a class in a church where people are listening to the Word of God, they're learning from the Word of God, they're implementing the Word of God, and some great things are happening. I believe all of us would share the desire this morning, wherever we are on the scale of marriage, one being miserable, 10 being great, that we want to get better, and we want to experience marriage as God intends. And in this passage this morning, in this verse that we're going to dissect and then launch from into the series of Two Committed, we learn that it's not doing something equally for one another or mutually one for another, but it's following God's pattern. And God's pattern is that there must be love and there must be reverence. We make a lot of love, but we talk a little about reverence and the scope of marriage, and we're going to look at that this morning. Emerson Egerich said this, quote in your notes, "No husband feels fond feelings of affection and love in his heart when he believes his wife has contempt for who he is as a human being." And ladies, there's going to be some things shared today that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you, and I hope and pray that you will, in this class today, say, boy, these are some things that I can take and apply that will help my marriage. I believe, again, we have the heart that says, I want to have a better marriage, but we may hear some things to say, now, I don't think that's going to make a better marriage. And you're going to have to make a decision and say, okay, do I think I'm right or do I think God's right? Am I willing to do something that doesn't feel right because God says to do it? Am I willing to do something that I would not normally do on my own because God instructs me to do it? Am I willing to do that? And I pray, leading into this study, that we say, yes, I am. God made this. I trust Him. And if this is His way, then this is what I will do. What are we talking about? Well, in studying Ephesians 5:33, I want us to see this, first of all, this morning in our notes. What it does not say. And I think to really understand what the verse says, I want us to, first of all, look at what it does not say. Because this is where a lot of confusion or misnomer comes regarding the subject of marriage. And again, this verse and the layout and the content of it would contradict much of what we might hear today in popular teaching and talk of the subject or the relationship of marriage. Now notice this letter A. It does not say for husbands to reverence their wives. This passage does not call for husbands to reverence their wives. It's very specific. Husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to reverence their husbands. Why? Because wives are made to love. How many ladies in here are a mom? Okay, vast majority. There is a love that God gives a mom that dads just don't have. You know, it's like the child that came to your room umpteen times in the middle of the night. The dad is thinking, I'm going to get a bigger lock on that door tomorrow. I mean, that kid can cry all night out there. It's not going to bother me one bit. I'm keeping him out. Now, the mom, you know, oh, Junior, come here. I mean, you know, the mom just has a heart and a compassion. Dads, we don't have it. You know what I mean? It's like, toughen up. It's good for you. And that's just kind of the take of a dad. There's just the love that God gives a lady, a wife, a mom that's unique. It's something that God gives her that is unique to her. And so a wife is made to love. A wife desires love. Husbands, you don't have to answer me out loud, but has your wife ever asked you, honey, do you love me? Now, let me ask you a question. Wives, has your husband ever come to you and asked, honey, do you love me? Probably not. Probably not. And if he does, he's certainly not going to admit it now, all right? But probably not, all right? It's just not the same. Boy, a wife is inquisitive. Do you love me? And I know I love you, but do you love me? And how much do you love me? And why do you love me? And I mean, it's just, it's important to her. And he could care less. I mean, if there's dinner and she looks good, we're good. You know what I mean? And love will come later. So it's different. The wife is made to love. She desires that love, and then she expects love. A wife expects love from her husband. It's kind of like when you go into marriage, you have expectations, some you know about, some you don't. And because you have expectations, you can guarantee one thing. As you go into marriage, you have unmet expectations because you have two imperfect people coming together for a marital relationship. And so because a wife is expecting love, when she doesn't get love, you've got a problem. So this verse is not saying husband's right with your wife. It's love because that's what she needs. Secondly, it does not say for wives to love their husbands. Well, our marriage needs help. And I know how much I love to be loved, so I'm going to love him. Mistake. It won't work like you think it will. That's what the Bible says. It won't bring about the result you think it will. Oh, but I know what it does for me when he tells me he loves me, or I get those notes of love or those poems. And I'm not saying never do those things for your husband. I'm just saying it's not going to have the same result because we're not made the same. And God says, husbands, you're to love your wives. And wives, you are to reverence your husbands. Husbands are made to be reverenced. Husbands are made in the image of God. What does God say to you and I? Our model for talking with him in Matthew chapter number 6 begins with this: hallowed be thy name. God says, you want to talk with me? Here's how you start. God, you are amazing. You are incredible. I can't believe the life I get to live. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the gift of the cross and Calvary and eternity. Thank you for my wife and my kids. And God says, boy, come before me and praise me and make big of me and show me gratitude and appreciation and admire me for who I am and what I've done. God says, that's the way to talk to me. And God says, that's the way to talk to him. He's made to be reverenced. He likes to be reverenced. Ladies, how many times husband ever asked you, honey, what do you think? Look at this project. Look at that car. Look how clean that is. Man, look at this. I fixed it. Hey, this is better than it's ever been. Look at this. Ever asked you that? Sure. Husbands, how many times you ever come home and your wife said, honey, what do you think? That toilet right there, isn't that the cleanest it's ever been before? Isn't that incredible? Let's look at this for a while. Doesn't happen. Different needs. My wife doesn't care whether, you're admiring all that she does. Now, I think you should, and you should communicate it. We understand that. We're just talking about the different weights that they add to one another. This is valuable. Boy, guys, they need to be reverenced. They were created to be reverenced, and they expect reverence. In the marital relationship, there's an expectation that reverence will be there for them. So let us see, look at this. So what happens when we do not do our part? So what happens when we do not do our part? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husband. It doesn't tell us to do the other for our spouse, but rather for what they need. So when we do not follow the biblical pattern, then here's what happens. We as husbands get frustrated because we're not being reverenced or respected. So we have an idea and we say, all right, well, if she's not going to do that, then I'm not going to be very loving. And now the wife isn't feeling loved. And she says, well, if he's not going to do that, then I'm not going to be very respectful. And now you're in stalemate. And she's not going to show respect and he's not going to show love. And it's who can hold out the longest. And sometimes you walk into the home and you can just feel it. I mean, you could cut through the tension with the knife if you had one. I mean, it's like, whoa, what's going on in here? Man, we've been 3 months, but I'm not giving out yet, you know. And it's this stalemate. Hey, she's not showing me reverence and he's not showing me love. And it's just this vicious cycle that we get into. Well, if she's not going to do that, then we just keep going. And how disrespectful can I get? And how unloving can I get? And if I get so unloving, maybe she'll show respect. And if I get so disrespectful, then maybe he'll show love. boy, you take two people that love each other that said I do at an altar, and they can get downright nasty at one another. I've been in some sessions where it was like, hey, time out. Don't you guys love each other? I mean, time out. Let's slow down here. You want to know why? Because we're in this vicious cycle, and we've convinced ourselves the only way to get out of it is who can drive the other to finally do the right thing. And the way to properly drive them is just keep pushing that button that gets them going. That's what happens when we don't do our part. Now we're in this vicious cycle of who can withhold from who the best to finally make them give in. By the way, a lot of marriages operate that way, and that isn't God's intention at all. So let's look at secondly, what does the verse say? Now that's not what the verse says. That's not what God's asking us to do. God is not commanding us to love each other in the same way. So let's look at secondly, what does it say? What is God commanding us to do here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33? And why does God give this command? Can I show you a couple things in Scripture before we jump in? Here's God talking to single people in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 28. Look at what he says. But and if thou marry, so he's talking to single people, and thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. So here's single, virgin people now going to get married. And watch what he says. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. You're pure. You're single. You're not sinning. You're not doing wrong. But you're going to get married. And here's God's marital bliss promise. You're going to have trouble. That's an awesome marital encouragement from God, right? You're single. You're pure. You've done well. You're not even living in sin. You're going to get married. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You're two imperfect people going to enjoy every moment of life together. You're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. Someone has said the problem with life is it's so daily. These things that happen, I mean, they just kind of keep happening and keep happening and keep happening. It's like, I can't get over them. I can't get around them. They're just always there. And it's like the wisest man under the Spirit in Song of Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that keep nagging. It's this and it's that, and it won't go away. And it's all the time. And as we look in Ephesians 5, God illuminates for us truth that will help us get over this and experience and enjoy marriage God's way. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 119 that the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You may say, Brother Gabe, I don't have any clue what to do right now to make our marriage better. Fear not, the Bible can help. The Bible can help. It can give understanding to the simple. It can help you and I be an expert in the area of the marital relationship because we commit to being a student of the Bible. So what does it say? And it's so simple, letter A, husbands, love. That's what it says. It says, husbands, love. And you have this in your notes, but the word translated as love is agape, and it has the sense of giving oneself for the other. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as yourself. Love her in a way that you are giving yourself to her. You and I know that our wife will ask us, honey, do you love me? She needs to be loved. She needs to know that she's loved. She needs to be shown that she's loved. She needs to be convinced that she's loved. She needs to be affirmed and reminded that she is loved. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I loving my wife? Do I love my wife like myself? Now, guys, let's be honest. Unless we're fasting or something like that, if we're hungry, what do? We go get food. I mean, you know, the world may be falling apart. Forget them. I need a hamburger. We're going to get some food. If I'm tired, what do? I sleep. Oh, there's a lot of work to be done. We'll get to it tomorrow. I'm going to bed. We take care of ourselves. And God says, just like you love and care for yourself, love your wife. So here's a convicting thought. When's the last time that I've done something for my wife that I've not done for myself? Loving her above me. When's the last time I've shown her preferential treatment? When's the last time I've treated her better than I've treated myself? Because she needs love. By the way, husbands, let me tell you something. She needs love. And I'm talking about marital love. And there's one person in this world she should be getting that from. And that's you. Now, we live in a wicked culture that offers alternatives. Whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, an extended friend of the family, whatever the case may be, there's always somebody with a listening ear and, oh, I understand that problem, and, oh, I can't believe you're going through that, and, boy, your husband's such a jerk, and there's always somebody willing to step in. She needs love. And it needs to come from us. And if there were a gauge of empty to full, we need to be watching her gauge and saying, hey, I need to keep that love tank full. I need to be doing my job in loving her. You say, Brother Gabe, some of that just doesn't come natural to me, too. Honey, I love you, and I'm showing you love through maybe gifts and bringing a flower home or a favorite candy bar or acts of kindness, and maybe I helped clean the house or did something for her vehicle or bought her something nice or whatever the case may be. That just isn't me. And you know what? Sometimes, guys, it isn't us. And that love and that emotional connection and some of the things we'll learn about in this series, we really have to come out of ourselves, but it's not coming out of ourselves. It's letting God shine through us. Look at the Bible in Galatians 5, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know where this love comes from? God. If my marriage is dependent upon the love that I can give my wife, we are hurting big time. I mean, we're out in the middle with no oar and there's water coming on board. We're hurting. Because I don't have in and of myself the love that she needs. It's not me. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm a Christian, I can go to God and say, God, I need this. I have to have this. I have to have the love for my wife that she needs, and I need your help to help me show it to her, help me communicate it to her, help me display it, and help me assure her of it. Lord, I need you. I need this fruit of the Spirit in my life to show her my love. If you read Ephesians chapter 5 and the instruction that it gives to marriage, and we'll not read it all right now, but did you know that in that passage, four different times it commands husbands to love? Twice. It gives wives their command, one to submit, one to reverence. So twice as many times, God tells the guy what to do more than the lady. Now, the ladies have all figured that out. Well, you got to tell him so many times for him to do it. That's what God's doing. And that may be, I don't know. I don't believe it's because the lady's role is any less important. I think it's this. I think God is saying, guys, you go first. You lead. If you're in stalemate, you're not waiting for her to reverence. You love first. You lead. You go first. You have the key. You're the leader. This is your role in the home. This is what you do. You go do it. You love. And God says twice as many times to the husband as he does to the wife, the role and encouraging you and I, and edifying you and I, and calling you and I to lead, to show the love that we should show. By the way, we can talk about our wives needing the reverence and our wives needing to submit and our wives needing to do this and our wives needing to do that. You notice the context of Ephesians 5? It is the loving husband that the wife is to submit in reverence. Now, I'm about to teach the wives that they should reverence no matter what, but before I do, husbands, can I encourage all of us as a team? Let's be reverenceable. Let's be respectable. Brother Gabe can be a jerk. Now, I have a good wife who sometimes is respectful to a jerk. But you know what? If I'm honest, I can say, honey, I'm sorry for being a jerk. Should have never done that. Should have never said that. And you were so kind to be kind to me, but I didn't deserve it. Now, fellas, if this is our role and that's her role, then let's be who we should be. So she can be who she should be. Husbands need to love. Wives, here we go, let her be, need a reverence. Wives need a reverence. You've got it there in your notes. The word translated as reverence is the word phobio, and it has the sense to respect. So husbands, love, agape, love in the stead of yourself, love more than yourself, shower her with love. Ladies, reverence, respect, admire, build up. In some husband's opinion, the girl they fell in love with that admired them, that approved of everything, that just was like, this guy is incredible. He now wakes up to this lady who disapproves of everything and is sure to let him know it, and gets out of the house as fast as he can to return as late as he can to spend as little time as he can, because it is rough. That's the way some husbands feel. Because it's gone from admiring and approving and he's incredible to now I know who he is and I'm going to remind him. This is my mission. I'm going to make him better. I am going to fix him. And he doesn't see all these flaws, but I do. And that's why God gave me to him. And I'm going to magnify them and make sure that he never forgets. Wives, it's not your job. It's to reverence. It's to respect. Let's see a convicting passage. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You know what Peter's saying there? Peter's saying, wives, you are such a good wife who reverences and respects their husband, that even if that husband is not saved, he will be won to Christ by you and your actions. Wow. Now, many of you have a saved husband that loves God. So how much further you stand with no excuse to be that reverencing wife, that respecting, admiring wife. You say, well, I don't know what there is to admire about my husband. Well, refresh the days you dated him, because you married him. And it may be less than you think. It may not be that he no longer is that guy. It may just be that you so lost sight of who he was, and now the imperfections and the things that you discover when being together 24/7 for a length of time have been so magnified and brought to the surface that we just kind of buried the good stuff. And it might shock and amaze you that if you go back to making big of the good stuff, how much more of the good stuff you see. Kind of like in sports, they say problems go away with wins. It's kind of like in marriage, ladies. Problems go away with admiration. Problems go away with respect. Problems go away with reverence. And I'm not saying we shouldn't fix problems. We've taught that before and we'll teach it again. But there's a lot here to showing that biblical reverence. God is not calling here for ladies to just feel respectful, but he's commanding them to show respect through respectful behavior. God says, husbands, to love unconditionally. Wives, be respectful without conditions. Why? Number three, what it signifies. Okay, Brother Gabe, if we do this, what does this mean? What can we count on? How does this happen? And I'm out of time, so I'm going to give this to you quickly. Here's what this verse means, and here's how it will strengthen our marriage relationships and serve as the foundation for this study. Number one, it signifies our requirements. It signifies our requirements. My wife requires a different kind of love than I do. We don't need the same. My wife does not need my reverence near as much as she needs my love. And I do not need my wife's love near as much as I need her reverence. We require different avenues. I cannot see my marriage and say I want to make it better and then give it what I want. I cannot do that. As a spirit-filled Christian, I have to see my marriage as in need of improvement, and I have to give it what my wife needs. I have to alienate my own needs, desires, and wants and invest in it, what she needs or what he needs, depending on who you are. And it's when you're willing to set aside your own needs and say, I'm going to give it what the other person needs, that you get out of that vicious cycle and you get into the cycle that God intended for marriage. It signifies our requirements. Wives need love. Husbands need reverence. When a husband feels disrespected, he acts unloving. When a wife doesn't feel loved, she acts disrespectful. Vice versa, it's harmony. So it signifies, let her be our responsibilities. All right, so if those are our needs, what do we do? Husband's love and wives' reverence. Now, the Apostle Paul here is not making suggestions. He's issuing commands from God Himself. He's literally saying, wives, reverence your husband. Husbands, love your wives. This is not a command, or excuse me, not a suggestion. This is not a, hey, if things aren't going well, you might try this. God says, if you're going to have a marriage God's way, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the command of the Scriptures. This is God's way. And can I encourage you to make a decision in your heart of giving each other the benefit of the doubt? It might be we've got a good marriage, but we just want it to be great. And it might be saying, you know what, from this day forward, I am just going to believe that my wife always intends to be respectful. And even when there are moments where she's not, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. Bad day, not feeling well, something going on. We can make it through this. Wives, same thing. I'm going to give my husband the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to believe that he loves me and will always do his best to act and behave lovingly to me. And so in the season when he's not, maybe a bad day, maybe something went wrong at work, maybe got in an accident on the way home and hasn't told me yet, who knows? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We're going to work together on this thing. Husbands showing love, wives showing respect. And then let her see, it signifies our rewards. Ladies, can I tell you something? Respected husbands are pretty loving. Husbands, loved wives are pretty reverencing. It's not hard to respect the guy that's sweeping you off your feet. And it's not hard to love the lady who admires everything you do. Makes you bigger than life. It really works. There's a rewarding cycle when the husband is loving and the wife is reverencing. God says, just let it work because it feeds on one another and it is an incredible supernatural cycle. Husbands love, wives reverence. This is a foundational lesson. Brother Gabe, we need more than this. And you know what I do as well? This is a great truth. And from this lesson, moving in the weeks to come, we want to learn to being committed, experiencing and enjoying marriage God's way. And can I encourage you as we close today, would you commit with me? I'm going to be here every week this series. I'm going to be here every week. I'm going to invest in my marriage. I'm going to learn. We're going to apply. And the 7 days we have apart, we're going to work on this week. And next week, we're going to add something to it. And every week, we're going to keep adding and developing marriage, that two are committed, experiencing and enjoying marriage God's way. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for our time together in this class and in your word. Would you bless these truths, apply them to our marriages, our lives, and our homes, that they indeed may be strengthened. And we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed. Church in just a few minutes.